welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
It's a very, very key word this morning. It's a very prophetic time as a church and very poignant with where we're at. This week of prayer and fasting, you're going to see things in your life and life as a church. God is going to be moving specifically and appointedly in our lives, and it's going to be awesome. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, just minister to our lives. Speak into our hearts, in our minds. For we give Jesus, we give you all the glory. Everything we do this morning and all of our lives belong to you. Every breath in our body. We let your name be lifted up. And let all men come to the knowledge of you through salvation. In Jesus' name. Before it's too late. Father, we know that time is short. We know that you're coming soon. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the precious gospel of the kingdom to share and to spread abroad so that none should perish, but all should hear the opportunity to be rescued and for salvation and find you, Jesus, as their lifeboat. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just going to speak very, very briefly on prayer and fasting. Pastor asked me just to share, and I'm going to come a wee bit closer as well. Prayer and fasting, this is a prophetic time in the church. It's a time of shifting, so don't think it's strange in your lives that there is shifting taking place. It's a time of almost like two tectonic plates rubbing against each other, and that shifting time has a bit of movement attached to it, bit of noise attached to it, and but it's a time of shifting, as a very prophetic time that we're entering into, not just as a local church, but we are in this time together in the world as the body of Christ and what's taking place in the world. And we see this on the news more and more every day. We're seeing things change at a huge rate. And at this particular time, there's a scripture I just want to share to start this and why we've chosen this time for prayer and fasting, which is not this week we're coming into, but next week. So again, I encourage you to set that aside, because I want to share, the title of this message will be Accept by Prayer and Fasting. Now, there's a scripture that Jesus shared. It was a scripture whenever the disciples couldn't cast the spirit out of the boy that was being the epileptic boy, and the father came then ultimately to Jesus, because nothing could take place, and Jesus turned around, cast the spirit out. And when the disciples privately came to Jesus after, they said, look, why could we not see that breakthrough? And we'll read that scripture in a minute, but Jesus said this: accept by prayer and fasting. So I know that's key for my life. It's key for your life, because it is the great key for our lives. And this is a time of prayer and fasting that we believe God has called us to as a church and as individuals. So it's a prophetic time. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 to 10. I will fire that scripture up. This is a key scripture. It came, a prophetic flow came on the back of this with the miraculous attached to it, and you know, with the confirmation of God in it. And you know when God is giving you a word, because you feel that here. You feel it in your spirit. It bypasses the brain and the mind, because that's just logic and factual things. But you feel it here, and then the evidences of that are all around, and God then comes right into the center of that word, and he confirms that word. And Deuteronomy 6 is Deuteronomy 31, what is a scripture and a very key verse in 10, verse 10. It says, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, that's the time when debts are canceled and forgiven, at the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'd never seen that before, that this verse attached it to a time frame within the year. That time frame was showing us at the end of that verse the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, put this in context. I know that we've been through a season of a church. We could all see that we've been through a season. We could almost describe that season as being nearly like a delaying wilderness style of a season. And we've seen that from even recently then, the delays and being out of the church, all culminating into a time frame. And think of your own life and think of your circumstances, because this will be a word that will apply to you at an individual level, a family level, a spiritual level, and a church level. And think of the time now that change is coming. And thank God for that change, because it's a time of refreshing that is coming with that change. Coming out of one season, a season of hardship, into a season of blessing and restoration. And that is the key word, restoration. God is bringing restoration, or wants to bring restoration to your life. He wants to bring now us into a season of refreshing. But we have to be very careful that we have a part to play, and we have to manage this season before God spiritually. And that is prayer with fasting. That's our part to play, so that we don't lose what God is wanting to bring, so that the baby isn't lost with the bathwater. And so, because God is doing something so special in your life, and because this is a pivotal time of shifting, even from a seven-year period. Now, I know personally I've been going through a seven-year period. I've known it for a long time. I've wanted to get out of it for a long time. And now, I'm personally at a seven-year period. Now, that's prophetic to me as an individual. But I know that affects a lot of lives. And it also affects our church. So I'm not suggesting that you've been through a seven-year period, but I know that that is the kind of time frame that we are looking at, and certainly personally. And when I was reading this, I was praying this, this verse came right into the middle of my life about a couple of months ago, at an extreme point of need again. And I know I've been dealing with a seven-year period, but then this verse came supernaturally to me. And I never read it in that context before, and I read it, and it was a verse for that day. It was a verse where a miracle took place that day at the end of this, and it was a confirming word. And that says, at the end of 7 years. Now, I thought my seven-year period was at the start of this year. I really thought, right, I'm coming in January. I was like, January, yes, this is the time where it's going to be changing. And I was wondering why still that delay. But then this verse came, at the end of 7 years, at the appointed time in the year. And this is the appointed time. And then God confirmed that time specifically. This was Moses speaking to the children of Israel as they were coming out of the wilderness, about to literally now ready to cross over Jordan into the promised land. This is the time when Moses speaks that word, and he says, and at the appointed time of the year, you will know it, for it is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I said, and I wrote down in my diary, I said, literally this word came so powerfully, went to my diary, says, when's the Feast of Tabernacles this year? Because it could be September, October, and this was the beginning of September. And I checked, the Feast of Tabernacles begins on the 13th of October. Week after next. So I wrote that in my diary. And then through the department heads meeting and the elders and the trustees, we were just planning our events and sanctuary restoration. And it's not by accident that we're getting into the sanctuary at this time. And there's a convergence of all things taking place at this one time. Buildings and property is attached to this season. And everywhere you look, there's delay, there's resistance. But connected to that is physical property, restoration, the spiritual and the physical realms meeting, God's destiny for us, and all things converging at one time. That is a prophetic time. And then it came through, not by me, and I hadn't even mentioned it, that we should mark this by a week of prayer and fasting. And that week of prayer and fasting was selected then for the week after next. Right in line with all of God speaking to us. So we believe that spiritually, miraculously, and supernaturally, God is speaking to us. So this time of prayer and fasting, set it aside. We encourage you, yes, maybe we haven't been able to give you 6 months' notice for it because it's something that God is just breathing now to us. And it's just come within the last few weeks again, and we all feel a witness to that. Pastors and elders in training and trustees and department heads all feeling and sensing that witness that we cannot do a thing until we have done our part, which is to manage God. What now? What from this season into the next do you want to do? And we have to manage that by prayer and fasting. And I want to just speak now. Why prayer and fasting? Why fasting? Remember, the title of this is Accept by Prayer with Fasting. In other words, there are things that need to happen in your life, breakthrough things, extreme things, things that have had delays that you have not been able to shift, but now a shifting time is coming, and we need to do prayer with fasting because it will not happen without it. That is our part, and the reasons are simple, very simple. So this key time, set it aside. I would encourage you to make every night if you can. I have to fly straight out again after the service, and I'm endeavoring to get back for the week of prayer and fasting. I'm endeavoring to get back for it, so I'll be back for hopefully first or the second day. But set it aside, and we're going to encourage you that God is going to be doing great things as a church, but he's going to do it in your life as well and in your families. It's a key time for families and for the church. Right, so why prayer with fasting? God, because what God is wanting to bring on the earth this time, in the end time church, we are, time is short. We don't know how many time, how long is left. The Bible is telling us that the Lord is coming soon. These words of the rapture of the church, we've got to get used to them in our vocabulary again, because the Bible has been speaking about that. We've been taking it for granted. But before the Lord comes, there are things that need to take place. Your loved ones in your life need to be saved. Breakthroughs in your life need to take place. How can we be complacent at this time, knowing the time is short, when all of these things still need to take place? And if we really believe that the Lord was coming tonight or tomorrow, and yet all of these things still are undone, well, God is bringing us into a season of restoration where all those things, where God's desire is that all those things now come into place quickly. They start to line up and join quickly because time is short. So it's a warning time that if we don't manage this carefully, we could lose the opportunity that we're being given by God, bringing us out of the wilderness into restoration for the end, for the coming of the Lord. And that's where we're living. We're living in those days. And so it's so key. So prayer with fasting. Why fasting? Just as we, again, go through very... I'm going to race through some scriptures. I won't read them. I'll just allude to them. But prayer with fasting, and it'll help you to do your own study coming up to this week. BCC, by the way, was birthed on prayer and fasting. Isn't that right, pastors? Not just prayer, not weak prayer, not lazy prayer, not I'll pray sometime. This church that you're a part of was birthed through prayer with fasting. And that's the anointing that God's bringing us back into. Prayer with fasting, Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus said, when he was speaking, his first sermon was called the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus was bringing out three main things there of our life: giving, praying, and fasting. He says in Matthew 6, verse 2, when you give, not if you give. And that's why we preach giving, because it's just our act of obedience to the God. It's not out of greed or desire for money. It's because God has called us to, having received freely, freely give of all things, not just money. That's talking about alms, but your time, your love, the gospel, our ministry, our giftings. It doesn't belong to you. Everything in your life, the purpose that you are here is not for you to enjoy selfishly, but for you to give it out lavishly to others. Praying, verse 6, when you pray, not if you pray. And verse 16 and 17, when you fast. And verse 17, when you fast together. So individual fasting and corporate fasting. Jesus saying that. You see that? But when you fast. So Jesus was teaching this first sermon, telling us that these have to be part of our lifestyle if we're going to achieve and to be able to see what God's plan for our life is. In Matthew and Mark 2, 18 to 20, Jesus was asked the question, well, why did John the Baptist's disciples pray, and why do they fast? And why do the Pharisees fast? But I don't see your disciples fasting. And Jesus turned straight around to them and said, it's because I'm still physically here. You don't need to fast because the presence of the Lord was there. He was literally, if you were a disciple with Jesus then, you did not need to fast because literally the very presence and the physical presence, and Jesus was empowered, the Bible says, he had the Spirit without measure. So when you were around Jesus, you had everything. But Jesus said, the bridegroom is going to be taken away, and then they will fast in those days. So we are called to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. It's how God has designed us and planned us. Fasting. Some quick things. In the natural, God has made us. Why is fasting in the Bible then? And we're going to see that it's right through the Bible. So fasting is as part of God's design for your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, as much as eating, drinking, reading, talking is. Fasting is a part, an important part of that. God made us and He knows the keys to our life. Natural. Fasting, it helps you lose weight, helps promote longevity, helps detoxification, helps speed up metabolism, brain function, improves the immune system, rejuvenates the skin, prevents acne, improves insulin sensitivity, may help prevent cancer, it's great for your heart, etc. All of these physical attributes to fasting, right? This word that your brain right now, when I'm talking to you, hates, it's like fasting. There's nothing worse than fasting. But I want to make this such an exciting word because really God wants you to run to this week of prayer and fasting with excitement. Now, it's a hard thing. Let's get that out of the road. It's not a natural thing to your brain. But you are made this way, and it's a key to how we function. Spiritually, God shows us that the appetite, throughout Scripture, we are told that the appetite, so basically our belly and our food, is linked to all of the other desire centers in our body. So whenever we get filled to overflowing with food and just eating, all of the natural desires are at their strongest. And I won't name them because this is a PG service, right? But everything comes out. All of the lusts of the flesh come out of when a person is filled and at their ease. And that's when nations go astray. It's when Israel went astray. God warned them. He said to them throughout Scripture, says, look, you need me now. And when you're desperate, but there's going to come a time when you're coming into the promised land and you're going to be filled and your bellies will be filled and your hearts will be lifted up and you will forget me. It comes out of the desire center. So that's the first reason why God has instigated that if we are not careful to control our bodies, they will control us. You understand? So if you don't control your body, you will be a slave to your body. And fasting is the way to control your body. Is that simple? So it is the connection. So there's a verse in Luke 21, verse 34. Jesus says that in the latter days, they will be overtaken and hearts lifted up with surfeiting. That word means eating and drinking. It says, as in the days, in Matthew 24, 37 to 38, as in the days of Noah, so it shall be, people will be eating and drinking, and then caught up with the lusts of the flesh. And that's the reason. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And that has a new revelation for me even this morning. So if it's not, he said, it's not meat and drink. In other words, meat and drink will take you away from the kingdom. Now, we've always read that scripture, and it is true that it's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. But if we do not, if we have no ability to control our eating in the way that fasting does, so if fasting's not in our life, we will never see the kingdom in the fullness that God desires for us. What about that? Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So, it's a great analogy of what fasting is. Why is prayer and fasting so important? Why does one go to with the other? Well, prayer. Prayer is us connecting to God. But fasting is us disconnecting from the world. And you cannot do one properly without the other. Prayer cannot be in its fullest unless you've disconnected from the world. The Bible says to lay aside every heavy weight that so easily ensnares us. And Hebrews 12 verse 1 tells us that God wants us to serve Him with the whole heart. So how can we pray and how can we be connected to God if we are attached to this bondage over here that has come through the flesh, the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions? Well, we can't do it. That's why the breakthroughs that you want to see in your life and my life are rarely there or not there. There's a measure of connection to God, but we know we are attached by this strong elastic band to this weight that is behind us and always is dragging us back. So if you've got that drag in your life, and as a church, if there's a delays in your life, if there are things that they're just not letting you go, you get free from them for a while, but they catch up with you again. Fasting is God's plan to break that. We disconnect from the world, and suddenly now we're with God. It is awesome. So that's why it's so important. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But because so much of their activity comes through our own bodies, souls, mind, thinking process, the center of that, remember, is the belly, we end up wrestling against ourself most of the time, our own desires. Paul said, this thing I do, but I don't do it, and I do the opposite of the things I want to do. He's talking about that great wrestle of the Spirit. And the Bible says that our flesh wars and lusts against the Spirit, and our spirit lusts against the flesh. It's that drag, and it's fasting is God's answer that breaks that. So therefore, only by prayer and fasting, this level of breakthrough and the season that God is bringing into our life of refreshing and restoration, which we all are so needing and desirous of, and God is desirous of giving, but it will only come one way. Prayer with fasting. And it is that this is the appointed time. So praise God. Right, so we're going to run to this now, and we're going to run through the rest of this message. So there's a mystery connection. As soon as we start to pray and fast, something unseen but so miraculous takes place. God tells us all through Scripture that instantly, when you set yourself to fast, God immediately gives grace to that act on your part. And the answer comes immediately. It starts immediately. It may not manifest into your life until after a period of time, as we know with Daniel, but the answer is immediate. So heaven answers immediately. There's something to do with prayer and fasting that moves instantly, heaven and earth, because we're going to see that what fasting means is that when you have set yourself, hard as it is, unpopular as it is to fast, you've entered into an act of obedience that is rare and pivotal, an act of love that is sacrificial, an act of repentance and mourning and cleansing that comes no other way, an act of humbling. And the Bible, in many verses, talks about afflicting yourself, but that's not whipping yourself. It's not where they get off on these strange things in different religions and they beat their bodies. That affliction just means afflicting your soul, humbling your soul, even going without food. And that's difficult and it's sacrificial so that we can be free from those things and with God. You've entered into an act of deliverance. Straight away, the demonic is starting to leave your life. And that's why Jesus had such power. And after the disciples learned this, that this only happens with prayer and fasting, that's when deliverance has happened always with the disciples and the apostles. So there's areas of deliverance in your life and my life and as a church that God is wanting. There are areas of addictions and areas of difficulty and areas of habitual sin. And that's not to make you and I under bondage. That's just telling the truth. We all have them. That's good to be just open and honest. We all have them. And it's the work of the enemy against you. It's not your heart. It's not your heart this morning to be totally habitually limited by snares. It's not your choice. It's not what you want to choose. Your heart does not want to choose that. But your mind and your body are raging after it. It's almost like you're bound to it. But fasting, immediately heaven sees that you have acted out of obedience and deliverance starts immediately in your life. Your prayers heard on high. Fasting's connected to revival and souls. If you want to see your loved ones saved, fasting brings those salvations. Healing of the whole body and the heart, praying for each other. Fasting's connected to your ministry. In other words, the activation of your ministry. Why is our ministry weak? Why are the giftings within us not really being used the way we know God wants to use them? It's because everywhere we see in Scripture that before they released into ministry, they prayed and fasted over those and then released them into ministry. Everywhere in the New Testament you'll see it. Everywhere in the Old Testament that they laid hands on them with prayer and fasting and then released into ministry. So fasting has to do with your ministry. Your ministry is muted and held back without prayer with fasting. Prayer on its own is not enough. Forgiveness flows. We've got to deal with forgiveness issues in our lives, in our families, and as a church. But that will not flow without prayer with fasting. Forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things in your life. Again, we know that. But fasting breaks the power of the enemy that is stopping forgiveness on all parts and brings a nation back together to each other and to God. Because it's the demonic influences, it's the strategy of the enemy to keep us divided. Intimacy with God, a release of an open heaven and and the realm of the Spirit, the activation of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, prophetic, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all come with fasting. The increase and flow of the faith and power of God, miracles, angels released, restoration and refreshing. All of that is connected to fasting. Who wants to see all of those things take place? That's what we're longing for as a church. And the Feast of Tabernacles is the appointed time. We believe, even for us as a church, families, businesses, that shifting is all taking place. Watch out for it. October, November, and that's the beginning. So it's not that everything, your life isn't just going to immediately line up in October, but that's the shift time. And therefore, thinking not strange that everything is converging at this one time. It's prophetic. And it's so exciting now to know. It's so exciting. If you can discern the seasons and be like the sons of Issachar and you know the times we're living in, then there should be such an excitement in you because the season of the wilderness is over and a new season of restoration and refreshing is about to begin. And the enemy's not going to give up without a fight, and that's why the tectonic plates are shifting and the rumbles. So again, thinking not strange that there's going to be that resistance. But if we pray and fast, and we use those tools that God's given us, every weapon of the enemy, none will prosper. The enemy has to bow and flee, and the disconnection from all of his things that are holding us back will be broken, and we will manage this season that God wants to accomplish and enter, amen, into the next. Praise God. So I really believe time's short. It's going to be a great season, but we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. It's not automatic, and we've got to manage this carefully. If we repent, fasting's got to do with repentance. It's got to do with saying, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And it's got to do with just setting aside that food for a while and coming. Now, whether you want to fast one meal before that prayer meeting, or you want to go into a daily fast, or you want to go for 3 days or a full week, you won't die if you're taking water. You won't die. In fact, you can fast 40 days as Jesus did with water and still not die, because the human body's built with that resilience in it. And scientifically, true starvation doesn't begin until after 40 days without any food, just with water. So, but be led by God in that. I would encourage you, go to what is sacrificial. Now, if you haven't fasted before, as Pastor will say, start just maybe with a meal or two meals, but start to build up that pattern in your life. But you can fast longer, and the longer you fast and the greater you use that tool, the more effective your breakthrough will be. Jesus fasted, Paul fasted, all these key people in Scripture, Anna the prophetess, Jehoshaphat, Solomon, Ezra, Esther, Daniel, Hannah, all these stories. When we look at these stories, we see it was fasting that broke it. Even I was reading Hannah recently preparing for this message, and I'd forgotten that Hannah had stopped eating. And her husband said, why are you not eating? She was fasting. And then when she received her assurance from Eli, she started to eat again. And she had the miraculous breakthrough of the womb with Samuel. Paul says, when he's talking about his credentials, 2 Corinthians 6, 3-10, and 2 Corinthians 11, 27, he's listing his credentials, and he's saying, if they say they're this, look, my life is this. And he attests, and he says, I've been in fastings often. Fasting was the secret of Paul's life, the apostle's life. Jehoshaphat, we know that great deliverance that God wrought in them came with prayer and fasting. Beautiful story in Ezra. I'd forgotten even Ezra. Ezra, having boasted to the king that God can look after us and he's faithful to us, reminds me of the scripture that Paul says, you know, having preached to others, I'm going to have to live that life lest I am ashamed. Well, Ezra was too ashamed to ask the king for an escort to come from Persia or from Babylon all the way back to Israel, because he'd now been released to go back and rebuild Israel. But he had to get from Persia to Israel through all of those countries with all of those bandits and all of those with no protection and with all of the jewels for the temple and all of, I mean, think of the temple and think of the gold and all of that. He had to make that journey, and he was too embarrassed. He didn't want to ask the king because he'd already preached God's gospel to the king that our God can look after us. And in Ezra 8, verse 21 to 23, he says, I didn't want to ask the king for an escort because that would disprove my faith. So he called his people together and they fasted and prayed. And God brought them all the way to Israel with angelic protection, and nothing befell them. Esther. Do you know Esther was in the time of... Anybody seen the movie 300? Anybody knows the Battle of Thermopylae? Well, King Xerxes I was the king in the story of Esther. Did anybody know that? That was the king that we know of in the story of Esther that brought Esther into the courts. That brought on a new significance to me, even historically. That's the guy. And that's how powerful a ruler he was. He ruled the Persian Empire at its zenith, at its height. And when Haman had hatched that evil plot like Hitler to massacre the Jews, even greater than Hitler, because Hitler was only able to try to get a third of them were under his control. But King Xerxes I had all of the Jews under his control. It was going to be a complete slaughter of the Jews. And what brought that complete turnaround was Esther and Mordecai. You'll see it in Esther 4, verse 3 and 6, verse 16, that they fasted and they prayed. Daniel 9, as we just closed, Daniel 9, 3 and 23 and 10, 2 and 3. When the angel came to Daniel, because Daniel set himself to pray and fast, the angel said, the moment you fasted, I've used the word fasted because he said, the moment you fasted and prayed, I was sent. The very second that you set your heart to pray and fast, I was sent. Now, there was a resistance in the heavenly realm, and that's why don't get discouraged if you fast on the first day, something hasn't broken through. But God promises you, in the moment that you start, your answer's on its way. Amen. So I want to encourage you, this week we cannot set it aside. This is going to be the most powerful week in your life, and it's going to be personal breakthroughs, emotional breakthroughs, mental breakthroughs, family breakthroughs, salvation breakthroughs, healing breakthroughs, breakthrough for the church and ministry, for all of our lives, individual and corporate. Two great chapters to read in your time is Isaiah 58 and Joel chapter 2. They're called the fasting chapters. And that shows you how not to fast and how to fast. And the results of fasting will bring complete and total deliverance into your life. Just to leave you with a wee teaser, in my life, I have fasted. And again, this is a reminder to me. And I regret that through my 7-year total destructive, it's been totally, where literally, I know what it is to have your whole life taken away in 7 years. Not one area of my life in this 7 years hasn't been touched. And preparing for this message, that pastor had asked me to, reminded me that I'd forgotten one of the keys. Key that I use regularly in my life, and I forgot it at the most precious time when I would have needed it. Prayer and fasting. And I've seen the angelic. I've had angelic encounters, not with winged angels, but I've seen the miraculous in front of my eyes. And that came through prayer and fasting, those times. There was one time when I was praying and fasting in university. You've heard me say this. And I was praying and fasting. I was living on hardly anything. And Deborah, my sister, I'm going to take 2 minutes and we're going to close. I'm just going to give you a personal testimony which will excite your heart. And I'd given, I was down to my last, I think it was £5 maybe. And a knock on my door, and it was my sister Deborah. And she was in university with me. And she was in tears, she was in a bad place, and she didn't have enough money even to get home. And she needed to go home, I think a week or 2 weeks, I was before me, because I was trying to get into the medical course, and that was the longest course at that time. So Deborah needed money, and all I had was literally my last money. A tempy left. And I remember that because that's poignant to the story. And I gave Deborah my money. I didn't tell her. I just gave it to her gladly. And I brought her in. We had a good time of fellowship. And then she was off. And now she's away home and blessed. But I have a week or 2 weeks to do. Can't remember which one, at university. I have 10 p left. So because I've been praying and fasting that whole year, amazing breakthroughs were in my life already. I knew the angelic encounter in Dundee. And that's really the first time when I was really strongly came into my life. And I've used it many times since, prayer and fasting, for miracles and breakthroughs, things that would astound you, things that you think, Jonathan, you're exaggerating. But this wee one story, 10p, I was going out to the phone box right outside the halls to phone my last 10p. I was going to phone home to mum and dad, tell them, look, I look forward to seeing you in a week's time or whatever. And it was me. It was prayer and fasting anyway, so I wasn't concerned, and it was a great place with the Lord. And I put the 10p in the phone. I had to wait because there was somebody in the phone box, and I couldn't get into the phone box. So I was just praying outside the phone box. It was a drizzly winter night in Dundee. And when the person came out after a while, I opened the door for them. They walked out. I walked straight in, put the 10p in the slot. And as very regularly would have happened at the time, went straight through and fell out onto the floor. And this was seconds. So I went to pick up the 10p, and it fell on a brand new, unfolded, crisp £20 note, right? So I lifted up, and my immediate reaction was that that person's dropped a £20 note. I didn't even think of me. I mean, that doesn't make me an angel. But I was thinking, oh, that's their £20 note. So I grabbed it, turned around to give it to the person. And in the center of Dundee, with only shops and no side roads and everything, and this would have been about 3, 4, 5 seconds, right? So open the door, and the person was not there. So, and God immediately spoke to me and said, Jonathan, you have had an angelic encounter of provision in your life because of prayer and fasting. And because of what I did, I'd given that to Deborah, and that met my, I lived like a king on £20. I gave her five, and I got 20. But that is just the breakthrough in your life. Prayer and fasting is going to do it. Prayer and fasting is going to break those bondages, bring the miraculous, and bring you from one season into the next. The enemy has been trying to sift you as wheat. The enemy is trying to break you. He's been trying to do that, and he's had a season of doing that. But his time has come to an end because we are coming from one season to another at the appointed time. Amen? So prayer with fasting, do it. It's the hardest thing. Your brain does not want to do it. But believe me, if you do it, you will. And we're going to give you journals. I'm just looking at Graham reminding me. It's a great idea Graham had, by the way. But we're going to give you journals that you can bring those to with you to the prayer and fasting. We encourage you, keep it private. Don't show anybody. Write down areas in your life that you need breakthrough in. Bring that before God. Let it be your heart before God. Say, God, this is my week. I'm bringing this. And also then, during the week of prayer and fasting, write down what God says to you. Because he's going to be speaking to you right into the center of your life, your relationships, and this church, and the nation. So bring that journal with you. And the last one is that lists. Write it down. Write your petitions before God. When I went for presbytery, I wrote a list of everything I needed God to talk to me about. Before presbytery, that was a time when there was hands laid on and the prophetic would have come into our lives. Pastor would have always taught us, right, candidates for presbytery, you take a time of prayer and fasting before presbytery. So I did that. I was in prayer and fasting. I had my list, and I wrote down all of those key areas in my life that I desperately needed God to speak to me in. And I kept it in my Bible, and nobody saw it. When it was my time for presbytery, and I was called forward as the candidate, I was prayed over in presbytery, and the prophetic ministry came in from around the world, wouldn't have known you, didn't say anything. They prayed over me, and they went down every point on my list in point order. And nobody had read that list. Isn't that amazing? But that is simply prayer with fasting. Amen?
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.